Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're going to drink a legendary amount of beer.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading Goosebumps number 4000, Legend of the Lost Legend. I'm starting with a beer.
I'm starting with a beer.
That's fine. What do you got?
So this is Straight Out of the Laboratory by Equilibrium, because, you know, there's a lot of just weird stuff in Goosebumps books. This one is less science-y than the others, but, you know, still pretty weird.
There's science at the end.
And this is a triple IPA, and it is very nice.
So, Jimmy, do you want to explain why we're doing this piece of shit again?
So everybody voted. This year we're doing votes different sometimes. And we do a long book at the end of the month, and so they vote for the short books that we fill the rest of the month with in order to create time for us to read these long fucking books. And so this month, they voted for Goosebumps books. And so now we've read three, maybe four, Goosebumps books. And this is the third one. We each picked one, and Mike picked this one solely based on the stupid title.
I stand by that decision.
It's a fair decision.
It lived up to it.
Yeah.
Did you read this one back in the day?
No, I realized I was looking back at a list of them, and I can't remember them now, but I got into Goosebumps like people of mine and Jimmy's age did. Around book, 10 or 15, it was really, really hot, and they were coming out at one a month or so. And so by the early 40s is when I checked out, and this book is actually number 47.
So, I don't remember this one at all.
So I was way done by then. Actually trying to find the other ones. The previous books, How to Kill a Monster, don't know it. Though the cover does look vaguely familiar. This was like just after I stopped reading. This is 1996, so this is like, it came out at the start of, what would that have been? Fourth grade?
Third grade?
Third or fourth. Mm-hmm. Math, don't fail me now.
We're nine,
so that would have been starting fourth grade. So yeah, I was kind of like done with Goosebumps by then. So I never saw this one before. But the title was just so, it just seemed like, wow, RL was really mailing it in already. And he still had 100 to go. So
he had not yet begun to goose.
To blump. So I'm just drinking a legendary strong beer. That was my connection. I'm drinking Goose Island Bourbon County Stout because I have a lot of it to drink. And I want to forget everything. So that's why I'm here. I drank so much of this over the weekend that it was a 3-day weekend, and I was fucking hungover so bad on the Monday. Normally, I would have just treated that like another weekend day and just started drinking early. And I the smell of beer was nauseating. I was like, I can't keep doing this to myself.
Did you drink more than usual, or do you just drink more than your age allows you to anymore?
I think they're the same thing, I guess. I don't know. I drank a lot. We had like three different, like every night was like a different, oh, we're going to this person's house for dinner, and that means also in drinks. And then the last of those nights was at my house. So I was like fucking reckless. Anyway, Legend of the Lost Legend starts off. Now, one thing I've noticed, this is our third Goosebump, is R.L. Stine's approach to scary, that's the word, fear, is cliffhangers every chapter. You know, every chapter ends with, and then he grabbed me by the penis, and then like the chapter ends, and you're like, whoa, what happened now in this book?
But also
don't go into the confessional.
Every book begins with a cliffhanger somehow.
Yeah, it begins.
So it's like middle of like,
chapter. In media's
look
book.
Out. But I mean, like the first sentence of every book is like, you start with a child screaming, ow, my balls, or something. Or
no, that's
so
the
much
front
blood.
Butt. Yeah, they always start. He tries to hook them right away. And this one starts, and it's like this crazy story of the kids. But most of them, by like paragraph three, you realize that there's like kind of like a misunderstanding. Like you thought it's like kids are playing a video game or kids are playing tag. And, it'll start like, I'm being chased. And then all of a sudden it's like, tag, you're right. And you're like, oh, very clever. This one, it's like four of the chapters are this red herring of an opening.
Four in a row.
Yeah, like, it, you, like. You was like, okay, this book is going for it. Like, the kids are lost in Antarctica on a bobsled thing, a dog sled thing, rather. It's not Jamaicans. And they're, like, you know, getting chased, and they get lost from their father, and like, we're going to freeze to death. This is how it ends. And you're like, whoa, this is a dark one. And then, at chapter, like, five, there's, like...
And now, wait. So, that chapter is only 2 pages long. And then new chapter, oh, that was all just a story Dad is telling us. We're fine. Dad's just telling stories. And what happens next, Dad?
Did you notice what Dad's name is? Richard Clark.
Dick Their Clark?
Dad is Dick Clark.
He's like, and then the ball drops. And they're like, what happens when the ball drops, Father? Was it pre-stroke Dick Clark or post-stroke Dick Clark? One was scary.
Pre, based on his addiction.
One was a lot scarier than the other one. Then we learned that the main characters, who are Justin and his sister, who I can't remember her name. I'm going to say Haralamba, but I know that's...
Justine.
Marissa.
Justine. Marissa is a peak 90s girl name. I have not heard that name since the 90s. I think all those women... You know, girls I went to school with, Marissa, they died in COVID because I have not heard that name since. But there were a lot of them in the mid-90s.
My brother had a girlfriend named Marissa, but that was a long time ago.
She died in COVID. She's dead now.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
She had to go to one of those nursing homes where Cuomo killed all the tier one people. So it turns out that it's just their dad who is like... A junky narcoleptic who can't be woken up is taking them on his weird Richard Attenborough tour of unknown former Soviet states.
Because he's also a classics professor who collects stories.
Symbology.
He's a folklorist.
I mean, folklorist is a real thing, but they used every word in the world except folklorist when describing him.
Well, that's because Taylor Swift hadn't put that album out yet, so nobody knew that word.
True. Yeah.
But
they're in the country of Brovania, which I believe is where Affliction and Tap Out merchandise is made.
It is the ancestral home of the Bros. That's true. Before the horrible Brogroms, which chased them from their land. Dude, I was...
Before they have the war with their neighboring country, the Hoes.
There was
I believe they were sequential because the Blurs came before the Hoes.
This is the original Palestine
this
Gaza.
This is our land.
Like we were here. This land was promised to us. I was at the gym. I was asking for directions or something, but I was at the gym.
And I was looking for not the gym.
I was like, where's food? And I saw like a fucking Uber. It's all just, I tell you, man. The gym is like a peak place if you like are still into masturbating with your imagination because it is just women who are dressed unbelievable. Like it has nothing to do with fitness. And the other half is bros and they all wear like the same branded fucking shirts. And it's like Gymshark is one of the brands, but I like did like 19 times. I was like, that fucking guy's shirt says Gymshark. And I was like, I think I just had one of those.
That's when you're doing your squat.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, oh no, that's one too many reps. The gym shark.
You always lift failure of your asshole.
Yes, that's when I do my spread lifts. they're in Provania, which is where Bro J. Simpson was from, I believe. and they're looking for, and this is why this their father must have gotten his doctorate from like University of Phoenix. He's like, I'm looking for the legend of the lost legend. And they're like, that, no? He's like, yes, legend legend says it's in a
Which
little
one?
Silver chest. And it's a really cool story. Am I able to find it?
Yeah, you don't even know like what is in it. It's just, it's a legend that's so legendary and lost that you don't know what the legend even is.
And so the kids are like, this, whatever. Dad took us out of school 2 weeks early to do this, so we're game.
Was that 90s band Silverchair? Was that?
Oh, absolutely. Silverchair was a band in the
90s. Silverchair, okay, yeah. All right. Not Chest.
Is there a band with Chest in the title? Can't think of any, but the Cherry Poppin' Daddies would have been all over it if there was.
Kenny Chesney.
So this, because of the way it's written, is kind of the craziest book we've ever read. Because the chapters are all a page and a half, but yet from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter, anything could happen. Anything and everything can happen in about a page.
Are these books terrible or great if you have ADHD?
Well, let's just say I do not have ADHD, but I tried to skim the book. Big mistake. Because, like, you know the thing you do when you're reading and you're like, your eyes keep moving, but you're not paying attention?
Yeah.
You cannot do that with this book. And it's a kid's book because anything could happen three paragraphs later.
This is the Ulysses of children's books.
With this, you could rebuild Brovania brick by brick from the words of this.
Just to, like, give an example, I'll just turn to, like, you know, chapter 5 or something like that, which is all of 7.5 pages into the book. It's like, suddenly there's a creature. This is the final page of chapter 4. And then it's a, like, maybe it's a werewolf. No, it's just a big dog. And then they're like, oh, how cute he is. And then they follow the dog. And then they get lost. And now I'm literally going ahead 3 chapters. Oh, no, then they're following the dog. And then they get to, like, a house with a weird Viking lady in it.
Yeah.
And then a wolf man.
Also, the dog has got a little note in a... Is on his collar.
Yeah, we should
follow Silver Dog because he's also in Silver Chair.
That was the opening band. Originally, that,
you know, there's a I think they're Peruvian, Latin American, South American metal band called, I think, Canis, and it's a metal band, and they have 2 pit bulls as vocalists. The dogs just wear earmuffs on stage, and they just bark.
It sounds like Cannibal Corpse, I'm sure.
Similar, but in Spanish.
Yes.
They bark in Spanish?
Yes.
Los El meat hook sodomy. Do you know that Cannibal Corpse song, Nate? I'm sure it wasn't.
I don't know any Cannibal Corpse songs.
They have a song called, I'm pretty sure they have Meat Hook Sodomy is one of their ballads, and Fucked with a Knife.
Oh, so they have a
Blunt
have a
Force
theme.
Castration. I remember someone explaining this to me 20 years ago. I was like, are you sure you're not talking about gore?
It's Cannibal Corpse is gore if they took themselves seriously.
Yeah, it basically is. So the kids are in their tent, and the dad's like, we'll finish that story later. Now time to go to bed. Daddy needs to fucking just drift off to Slumberland where he cannot be woken up. And they're in a tent, and then it lights on fire. And the dad puts the fire. He's like, all right, now we just have a hole in the tent. Good night, kids. That didn't need to happen. That was just filler. Way to go, RL. And then they hear something outside. And it's a big fucking dog that's prematurely gray. They call him Silver Dog. And it has a little note in its collar that says, follow me. And this part is consistent against of all the Goosebumps. The children are fucking morons. And they go, oh, yeah, let's do that.
And they say, I trust dog.
And he says, like, it says, I will help you find what you're looking for, or something like that is in the note. And they're like, Dad, quick, wake up. And he's died. He's dead now. He doesn't know how to wake up. He has, like, terrible sleep paralysis or something. They cannot wake the father up. And they just kind of go in a way that happens in all these books. The kids go, yep, Dad just is a heavy sleeper, I guess. And that's a way
we'll
to
just put away his sleeping medicine, you know, we'll put the syringe and the rubber band back in this little case that Dad does for his medicine.
Dad's chasing that dragon again. I guess we got to chase the Silver Dog.
His own lost legend.
Yes, he's been seeking bropium. yes, the bropium dens of Brovania. So they chase the dog. And yes, as Nate said, they then end up at a hovel with a Viking lady who plays practical jokes on them that are, they're just like, would you like soup? And they're like, I guess so. And she's like, here is soup. Don't drink soup. It's poison. And then they're like, what? And she's like, kidding.
I will fuck you to death.
Yeah. She's like, seriously, what drink the soup. It's going to make your butthole looser for what I do to it later. And then you're like, why is this here? Is all these books were stupid and filler, full of filler. This one was egregious.
I feel like this one he wrote like with a set of dice, you know, and there was like a different outcome on everything, or he just wrote 100 ideas on slips of paper and just drew them randomly, and then
Viking lady, who was actually
a wind-up toy.
What can I get away with? Later.
Maybe this was a choose-your-own-adventure book, but he forgot to put the directions. Like, you weren't supposed to see all of that.
Like, I think it was just like a matter of like, will kids read anything at a certain point? Turns out, yes.
Well, you know, to what Nate was saying a minute ago, for ADHD kids, in the 90s, when children were not being diagnosed with that very often, a lot of kids still did, and looking back, some of those kids are definitely in need of something that I went to school with. And they read these books, so, you know, he might have been onto something. You know, nowadays, they try to get kids to read 10 books in a series that are each 500 pages. He's like, here, how about 92 pages of bullshit? Kids were able to commit to this. But they follow the dog. No. Then they meet Luca, who lives on the second floor. He lives upstairs.
He's a wolf boy? What's that? Is it like a Teen Wolf kind of situation?
It's Teen Wolf 3. Teen Wolf 2 was the Dukeying, right? Teen Wolf 3,
Teen
Turd
Wolf
Offense.
Eastern Europe. Eastern European B-League.
Yeah, this is the lame sequel to Castle Wolfenstein. this one here. Remember that game, Nate?
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Played it quite a lot.
Wasn't it like zombie Nazis or something? Weren't you killing?
They're just regular Nazis. And I think later on they became zombies.
There was a final boss was the zombie Hitler.
Yes.
Yes, he's like brains, just not Jewish ones. So then they meet Luca. And inexplicably, the woman was like, oh, yes, he is wolf. I don't know why she's... I don't know what kind of accent this woman should have, because I don't know where Brovania is. But in my head, she's...
Why she's a Viking.
Oh. It's like, he is of a lycanthropan type. And they're like, what the fuck does that mean? He was raised by wolves. And then they go, what does that have to do with anything? She's nothing. And then they accept this character. And he disappears for the book until the end.
Well, they go to sleep or something, or they're drugged, and they wake up in the trial of the legend, and Luca's there.
They're like, why is
and
my
then he runs off
leaking?
He chases a bee, and they're like, oh, we'll find him later. And they find the note that says, make sure you don't lose him, or you're going to die. And they're like, oh, we failed the test.
In Fantasy Forest.
The plane, boss.
The plane. So then they have their trial, and it's just like the Odyssey. Except it's fucking horrible and stupid and retarded.
And they don't get stranded for 7 years banging a witch.
No, but they don't know what happened to them when they fell asleep. So
no, they don't.
Things did happen to these kids. Let's just say goose blumps were given.
What does that even mean? Goose blumps?
Remember goose blumps? We talk about it every 18 hours.
I know. Too bad that's not a real book. I would have preferred to read that.
I think this is where ChatGPT comes in. We need ChatGPT to write us a Goosebumps novel. And then something bit me. Chapter 2.
Honk, honk.
And the big twist is it's a swan. So then they go through... I can't even remember the fucking dumb things.
They're going through the mystery forest, and then they get attacked by... nuts that fall out of a tree.
Sorry.
Mice come out of the nuts.
I wrote down this sentence because it's unintended. I mean, these books are filled with stupid things, but I discovered the ground was covered with large brown nuts, and I was like, uh-oh. And he's like, look, they're bigger than eggs. She says, they feel so hot. He's like, hey, whoa. And her cry made me look up. It's like, they're just in the forest, and they're like, check out these nuts. And this is how I know R.L. Stine was seeing what he can get away with. Mm-hmm. It's like, what if the scariest thing in one of my books is these nuts?
I mean, they are pretty bad.
His saggy old man balls must be a nightmare. Have you ever seen what R.L. Stine looks like? His balls must be like a train of a wedding dress. They must be behind him like a...
Well, like now, but back then they were probably okay.
No, they're like behind him like a geisha, like seven steps behind him are his nuts.
He could afford to have them lifted.
Do they do like facelifts for balls? To like you staple just, some like, of your balls?
You fold
skin
them over and
taint?
You staple them up higher.
You just like tie them up, tie like the into like, a little rubber band. Of, like you just gather up some of the...
It's like a tetherball pole.
Oh, all right.
You wrap them around the wiener.
Pickle balls, I believe, is the sport named after this. Okay.
Yeah.
Nate, no? I mean, you want to... What track is there for us to get back to?
Well, these nuts all open up, and mice jump out at them. And they're like, oh, there's so many mice. But then they're like, oh, these mice have little off switches on them. And so they turn off the mice. And you're like, okay, sure. And then they hear big thwomping sounds, and it's cats the size of Ghidorah. Yeah, a deeper cut than Godzilla. They're big, big cats, and they're going to get eaten by the cats.
First,
but
big
the cats...
brown nuts, and now a big sloppy pussy. And
yeah,
because the cat drools, kind of breathe. It's like a queese on them at some point. It's like breathing hot cat breath on them.
It does. And then they keep running, and the cats catch them. But the cats drop them because they're playing with their food because they're cats. And they end up back at the cabin somehow because every chapter is 50 seconds of reading.
Well, no, cat tries to eat the kids. There's two cats, one per kid.
Mm.
And then the kid is like eaten by a pussy. This is ironic. And then the cat is trying to eat him. And he's like, oh, its tongue is all mushy and sandpapery. Like they're in the mouths of the cats. Mm. And he keeps trying to, because the kid's a kleptomaniac, he stole some of the nut mice. And he's trying to distract the cats with them. And he somehow discharges two mice, and the cats are distracted by this, and that's how they escape.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
This is an important detail.
Now, with context, the next part makes sense, where they end up back at the cabin, and there's a Viking lady, but she's leaned over on the table. She's got a big wind-up knob in her back, and you're like, how did they not notice
knob,
it last time?
A knob in her back? Wow. Was it his birthday?
It was where the D's nuts are.
Oh, yeah.
But, and they're like, wow, she was a robot. They were all robots the whole time. That's why they had switches. And you're like, okay.
They also,
sure.
At some point, there was a tree, like a whole forest of like paper mache trees that they had.
Yeah, all of it.
Which
and
is what
I remember was a river.
Oh, yeah.
The river.
And, or a stream, I think, in there somewhere.
They lost their
They
boots.
Were getting sucked into the river when the cats caught them. Because they were going to get sucked in like quicksand river. Because when you're nine, you think quicksand is going to be a much larger part of your life than it ever actually was.
You can never be too prepared for it, though.
No, quicksand was very in vogue in 1995.
It's biding its time, Jimmy. You know, that's why we need Greenland. So you never know when that's coming back.
There's no sand there. We'll be safe.
You say no to our quicksand, we will remember.
So they're at the cabin, and then suddenly Luca, Wolf Boy Extraordinaire, shows up, and he's like, aha, I got you. I wasn't a wolf boy. And he pulls off his wolf hair, and he's like, I'm a regular guy. I do this for fun on the weekends. And they're like, okay, man.
These forests are of my people, and I protect them. By creating games.
Building elaborate robots.
This is why the economy of Eastern Europe is in the toilet in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It had nothing to do with the fall of communism.
No, it's just this. This is what they were doing. Communism, real communism was never tried because they were busy doing this.
Yeah, they had spent all their money on... cats the size of buildings.
Do you know how many fucking kopecks that cost? Whatever. What was the Polish? Zloty?
Well, it's a lot of zlotys.
That is a lot of them. And so he's like, you know, I protect this, but I want to make sure, you know, it's just treasure hunters come to this forest all the time, and I want to make sure they like really earn it by going through what is essentially a mobile carnival funhouse of bullshit. And then they will earn it. But unsaid there is that many people potentially are eaten by his giant cat robots.
Hey, man, it's Eastern Europe. Like, people die all kinds of weird ways.
Like, my cousin Pavel, he is dead from cat. It's like in a, I'm just picturing Euro Trip when they're in the Bratislava.
Bratislava. Oh, yes, Miami Vice, number one new show.
But when they first get there and they're like, where are we? And they just see, like, you know, burnt out buildings and like peasant women playing the accordion. There's a dog that just has a human hand in its mouth. That's basically what this is.
It's Hostel.
Yeah, Hostel, the children's book is what we're going to do. So he's like, here, I have a treasure for you. And he gives them a little chest, right?
It's a little chest. He gives them a little silver chest. He's like, this is what you're looking for.
You're like, wow, this is... Why are there two more chapters? And then I forget exactly the order of operations.
They take the little chest and they go back and they find their dad who's like, where the fuck were you? I was just taking so much heroin. I mean, my medicine. And I woke up and you guys were gone. And you took all my heroin. I mean... My Zoloft.
Is that fentanyl?
And they're like, it's okay, Dad. We did the survival test with Luca the Wolf Boy, and he gave us the silver chest with the Legend of the Lost Legend. And he's like, well, that's pretty cool.
This heroin's stronger than I thought.
Like, well, I guess it's not so lost anymore. And he opens it up, and it's a fucking egg. And he's like, I don't get it. And they're like, I think we should ask customer support. And they go back to Luca, who's still there. He's like, hey... Was with the egg. He's like, you guys didn't want the egg of eternal truth? And he's like, no, we're here for the Legend of Lost Legends. He's like, oh, my bad.
I know, I'm usually so good at
guessing.
Wrong code
at the coat check. Just like, oh, that's over there. Those guys have it. I'll take the egg back.
But they probably won't give it to you at any price, he says.
Yeah, they really like it. It's worth many kopecks.
So they go to this group of people. He's like, they've been protecting it for centuries in the forest. And he goes, and they're... I'm picturing, like, the battling monks from that Waldo book, because they were just a wandering forest people. And they're like, what do you want? And he's like, is that the Legend of the Lost Legend? Like, yeah, what about it? And he's like, well, I would like it. And they're like, it's yours! And then they give it to him, and they run away. And he opens it up, and it's like, inside is just like, one little business card that says... Whoever has the lost legend will be lost. So says the legend, or something stupid like that. And yeah. They're like, wait, we're lost. Now we're the Fagawi tribe. We don't know where the Fagawi. And that's how the fucking book ends.
Yeah. Yep. It was dumb.
It was especially dumb.
It was pretty dumb. Like, if they had just skipped all the robots and shit, and this had just been the ending. I think the ending would have been better accepted if I didn't have to go through the robot cats.
Just like, no,
like, why does he use robots if this world clearly has magic?
The characters, even though, okay, we're obviously, it's a kid's book, we're overanalyzing it, but...
I think even this
case, we're allowed
to. The characters,
they don't grow, they don't change, they do achieve their objective, but their objective is just, oh, sorry, you're fucked. That was, but, and then this literally... They could have found the Legend of the Lost Legend, and they could have found it in chapter 2 and skipped everything in the middle, and nothing would change.
This had, like, you know, short story energy, or it's like the ending,
but
is
it's
like
a little
oh,
too
gotcha.
Long for that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. If the whole thing was 7 pages and it really, like, built up to this and it was a 7 page short story, it'd be like, okay, great.
Yeah, the robot mice and cats. And the clockwork Viking woman, and the, like,
she's
the,
just a very
Kaiser
Soze
wolf
IKEA
boy
furniture.
Or whatever the fuck.
The Helga. I think it would have been way better if they found the lost legend early and they had to figure out how to, like, trick someone else into taking it. Or
yeah,
get that guy to take
it
back.
Dilemma.
That would have been a great ending. You know, the guy who's
the
like
kids book, like
the children believe in vengeance more than adults. Children are like Hammurabi. they want.
Or just be careful what you wish for. You know, they wished for the legend.
I believe that's the
I
name of Goosebumps book. Just be careful what you wish for.
Is that's like the Monkey's Paw one.
Yes.
It's in like the first 10, maybe.
Yeah, it's an early one. I can picture the cover. It's like a crystal ball, right? That's book number 12.
Ooh, okay.
That's one of the ones they've reprinted with new covers. This one I don't think was... Yeah, I'm at the Goosebumps fandom wiki. Legend of the Lost Legend is one of only four books to never be reprinted.
Damn. Even they didn't like it.
It was just terrible. I mean, you know what? I'm looking at the cover now. The cover has a tagline, as they all do. And the tagline is Finders Keepers. You know, that's I guess that's foreshadowing of a sort. The other ones, just listen to these titles. These are like clearly the bottom of the Goosebumps barrel. The other ones that never be reprinted. Monster Blood 4.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Werewolf Skin. And I Live in Your Basement. This is like about your fucking loser older brother. What is that one about?
That's about squatter's rights.
Oh, it's very popular in conservative circles.
Yeah.
This is what California and New York are like. I Live in Your Basement.
Well, this was definitely the worst of the three.
Oh, by far.
That we did.
I mean, we kind of already said everything wrong with it.
It was.
Which is that it existed.
It was even stupider. There's nothing that made sense, or it's just sort of, and it's just a, for the most part, random things happening to them rather than the characters finding, you know, there's encountering an obstacle to their objective, cleverly overcoming the obstacle, only to encounter another obstacle.
They pushed the off button.
But that isn't, I mean, they would occasionally have to take an action to solve the problem, like, oh, the mice have an off button.
Yeah.
But, like, they had to turn off the mice, but they didn't know the mice had an off button, because why would you think that? So it was like, oh, they could discover it by accident. But it's that was them at their most proactive. Usually it's just like, oh, the cats, fuck. And then the cats go on like, three chapters. And then it's like, oh, the cats brought us back to the house. Now what's wrong with this lady? It just didn't make any sense.
No, it was dumb. It was pretty phoned in. Not that these require a great deal of effort on a writer's part, but
again,
if you're going to make
probably,
as much money, try.
He probably wrote it all in one night. He stayed up all night and just finished it. Like, you could do it.
Can you imagine?
I don't really understand the whole children's book market. It seems like I can't, except for the few rare cases. We're like, wow, that was a good kid's book. Like, not like, wow, high literature, but like, this is a good book for kids. Like, the line between children's classic and just shit Money Farm is so arbitrary, and I don't really understand it.
There is like a certain je ne sais quoi, right? Like, some have the right combination.
It's hard to define.
Of clever and whimsy and moral lesson. I think like those are all big ingredients in a children's book.
I mean,
book
this is a reach,
staying power.
Like, you know, the Phantom Toll Booth was random weird shit the whole time.
I have completely blacked out what that was.
Yeah, I don't remember very well. I didn't really like it that much. We did it here, and I don't remember very well.
No,
but it's considered a fucking classic. Not to say that Goosebumps should be held to such a esteem, but I don't understand what makes one. Why is that one like still massively, you know, well-known 50 years
later?
There's
also a nostalgia element for a lot of those books, and especially older books when they were fewer children's books.
These books are now nostalgia.
Yeah, but because there were 1,000 of them, I don't think too many people felt much, you know, connection to a single Goosebumps book. It's just more like, I read The Goosebumps, or I read Babysitter's Club. Whereas The Phantom Toll Booth was like 200 pages. Like, that was an investment that took a kid a few days to read, or a week or two to read. And then the kid read it again because, like, there was really nothing else to read. And so for a lot of kids, that really stuck with them. Or, like, we've done a bunch of them over the years. The House with the Clock in Its Balls. What was that one? House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Oh, I kind of remember.
Or A Wrinkle in Time. Or, I mean, Harry Potter, I guess, at some, you know, to this point, though, that's like a phenomenon of its own. But a lot of them just have like enough, there has to be like zany, but like thoughtfully done. This was just, he just had like a ball, like a bingo ball of like random shit, or like the manatees from Family Guy, and just like, he just had random ideas.
Also, with kids' stuff, it sort of, once it sort of catches on, then everybody has to do it. You know, kids are very susceptible to the, you know,
trends.
Feeling like they're getting
FOMO,
left out.
The homosexual
FOMO, exactly. There you go. They're very susceptible to that up until, like, 17 or 18, and then they're only a little bit less susceptible to it.
But hey, don't knock that, Nate. That's how you could sometimes convince women to have sex with you. Everyone else is doing it. Please?
Not with you.
Worked for me and Jimmy. Together. No?
Yeah.
Jimmy, everyone else is doing this. I don't think so. Maybe. We don't know
that. You're lying. I don't think anyone's doing this.
Trendsetters. No, but kids will follow along. And Goosebumps was a big fad. I remember it at my school. And then all of a sudden, you're like, that's not cool anymore. There's something new now. I like Mighty Maxes.
About Super Fudge.
But those books are still popular. Those Judy Blume books.
Yeah.
My kid only reads those now.
One?
My kid read Super Fudge. That book's like 50 years old. Or like fucking The Mouse and the Motorcycle.
The Great Mouse Detective.
There's also got to be an element of these books being purchased by schools, or the ones that have like stick around. You know, they're bought by schools, they're taught in a classroom, or they're in the classroom libraries. Goosebumps aren't doing that. Can you imagine, like, if you went to your kids' open school night or whatever, and they're like, welcome to the third grade classroom, I'm, Mrs. Jones, and we have a complete Goosebumps collection. You're like, that's weird. Why? Why are you still putting those to making children look at those?
Money.
I'm curious what the last one is. when everyone was like, it's done. It's done, R. We're done making these. How bad could that one be?
I don't think they had any series conclusion.
Because there's no plot line. There are occasional sequels, but they're not.
But what one was so bad that R.L. Stine was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing this anymore. This is bullshit.
Because
he had 100 more after this one, right?
Something crazy like that, yeah.
Of not just Goosebumps, but like other stuff too. Of Goosebumps. Oh, Goosebumps like proper. I think there's what, like 70-ish?
There's Goosebumps, something. And there was like a couple dozen of the Choose Your Own Adventure Goosebumps. Yeah. And there were the TV. Then the TV show came out. And the TV show had fucking novelizations of the TV show. Of the adaptation of Goosebumps books.
Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Exactly. Then they had Goosebumps 2000, which is that, that period from 1998 to 2000, where if you put 2000 in the title, people thought, this will never get old.
Even though these came out in 1996, so it wasn't that different.
But once we were in spitting distance of the millennium, or as some called it, the willennium, it became imperative that you put the number 2000 into everything.
Yeah,
it's like how Nintendo 64 needed to put 64 in all the titles of their games.
Nintendo 64 2000.
Yeah, that was. I don't know how PEMDAS applies to that. What that real number is?
I think it's an exponent.
It's yeah, right. What's the formatting of
it? Is it 2000 to the 64th? Because that's huge.
Or 64 to the 2000th bigger?
It's probably bigger. Yeah, it's a lot bigger.
That's math, people. These are bad books. These are terrible. This one, though, is egregious. So who should read it? Absolutely fucking nobody ever.
We picked, like, deep cuts, I think, is the problem. I know that they're all going to be not good. But I'm sure that there are at least 5 of the 70 to 200 that are all right. And they're probably, like, the big ones.
Well, the earlier ones when he had his mojo.
But can third graders tell the difference?
No.
I don't think they can.
No, they can't.
So I don't think they would even know
which ones
are actually better.
No.
Listen, a kid of this age, second, third, fourth grader who can read this kind of book, they will churn through these in a day or two. They're just machines for like, passing their eyes over these words. They are not big critics of it. They don't think too critically. They don't think carefully. And then they read it again like 6 weeks later when there was nothing else to do before we put a screen in front of every child. And they did their job. They amused kids and got them to read words. I kind of appreciate that he never did anything like purposely didactic, having a kid teach his vocabulary words in the middle of the books. It was really just a zany, silly story. As you could tell, there's these children books. It's called Fancy Nancy. They're like picture books. And I think they were chapter books that my daughter read when we were little, when she was little. And it's like a kid who's like really pretentious. So she's just like, "Merci beaucoup," I said. "That's French for thank you." Like, it just,
I said in perfect fucking French.
Yeah, exactly right. I said, "This will be horrendous," which is a fancy word for bad. You know, like it's clearly trying to get kids to pick up some vocabulary words. He didn't try anything. He's just like, here is just a quote-unquote scary story. This one is just frighteningly bad at it, you know, the form.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 50s sci-fi magazine stories, but for individual purchase.
Yeah, that is a fair comparison, right? Those were never meant to be revered. Now people collect them because people collect everything, and they're nut jobs who need to read.
People still collect Goosebumps.
That's true. But I think that's the nostalgia thing, because you had it as a kid. You know? Yeah.
I'm sure there's someone out there who's like, ooh, a whole set of first edition pressings of Goosebumps.
Oh, absolutely.
MSRP, $295.
I feel like they were $3.99 a book.
With inflation, that's like $47 each.
Oh, thank goodness we don't have to read too many more this month then.
No, just one more. Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe not.
Until we run out of ideas in a year or two and do this again.
Or soon.
Or next month.
Or we fucking kill ourselves. Anything else to say, Nate?
Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
If you want to give us goosebumps or money, go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub to support the podcast. Or just leave us a review.
Or go to Goodreads, where there's all kinds of blumps.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent blump podcasters. And thanks for listening.